Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to share a story about Sam Houston. How many ever heard of the name Sam Houston? Anyone who's from Texas, he's a Texas hero because he was the one that gave Texas, he led the army against the Mexican army and gave Texas its independence from Mexico. And near the end of his life, what a lot of people don't realize is he received Christ as his Savior, asked Jesus to be his Lord, and he wanted to get baptized. And so he asked the preacher, and the preacher says, hey, let's go ahead and do it. And so they went down to a little country stream, and the preacher noticed that he had glasses on. And he says, you know, General Houston, you might want to take your glasses off so you don't lose them, they don't get wet. So he took his glasses off. He also had some papers in his pocket, and he took those out. And they were getting ready to go down in the water, and the pastor noticed that Sam Houston had his wallet in his pocket. And he said, General Houston, you might want to take your wallet out of your pocket. And Sam said, if there's any part of me that needs to be baptized, it's my wallet. So Sam Houston and his wallet were all baptized. And these past few weeks, we've been focusing on a series that we call The House. The house. It's based out of Ephesians 3:17. We've got the scripture up for you on the screen. It says, I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. When we receive Jesus Christ, he comes and lives inside of us, but not as he just come and live inside of us. He wants to make his home inside of us. He wants to make his home. He wants to dwell in every part of our lives, and he doesn't want us to partition off and say, well, Jesus, you can have access to this part of my life, but not that part. He wants lordship. He wants involvement in every part of our life, and we've got several rooms that we've been looking at. We're going to show them up on the screen. I'm not going to get to them. I'm not going to talk about them, but you can take a look at them for yourself. But these are the different areas that we've been talking about for the past several weeks, and What today's message is about what Sam, and I, all right, it's referring to what Sam Houston was talking about, when I need my wallet baptized. Because here's the thing, that one room of our house, and we're calling it the office, because the office is where you go to pay your bills. It's where you go to do your business. Maybe you've got your computer in there and you do some trading on, you know, E-Trade, whatever it might be. You do your taxes. You do all of your financial dealings in the office. And in your notes this morning, if you're taking notes, the office symbolizes money and financial stewardship. It symbolizes money and financial stewardship. And the office is many times the most disputed room in the house. More than any other area of our lives that we want to give Jesus access to is this area of finances. John Wesley said, the last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. Martin Luther said there are three conversions necessary. The conversion of the heart, of the mind, that's the study we talked about, renewing the mind, and the purse, our money. And he says, of these three, the conversion of the purse is the most difficult. Guys, how many know, converting your wife's purse, that is really tough. All 14 of them. But it's also our wallets. It's this whole thing of money. Money has such a strong hold on so many of our lives. Today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. I'd like you to flip there. And what's interesting as we talk about verses 9 and 10, which have to deal with our wealth, it has to deal with our finances, they come right after some of the most famous verses found in Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. Many of you could probably recite them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not, or don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And now if you skip ahead two verses, as it's talking about trusting God with every area, with all of your heart, not trying to figure things out, what does he say? Honor the Lord with your first, with your wealth and with the first and best part of all your income. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. God is saying, as he's making application, it's so easy to make a general statement. Yep, I trust Jesus. But then the proverb writer, he's going to say, this is how we apply this as we trust him with all of our heart. He says, trust him with all of your wealth, with all of your money, all of your finances. When you trust God with that and don't try to rely on your own understanding, that's what it means to trust him, is when you honor God with your finances. And sometimes when we hear that, say, oh, man, I don't like that. Jesus, I want to lock that door in my room. I don't want you in to the office. This morning, we're going to look at three principles that come out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And then we're going to look at three ways of how do we honor the Lord with our wealth, because that's what Proverbs says. Taking notes this morning, point number one, the first principle in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, is that God is a source of everything. God is a source of everything. Verse 10, God is saying, your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. God is the one who overflows our barns. God is the one who overflows our vats. He determines what we receive. And he can give us a lot or he can give us a little. God is our source. In Bible times, they were farmers. That was what the majority of the population was farmers. And so that's why this is written in the context of farming. As you plant your crops, as you do your vineyards, I'm going to give you a lot of grapes, a lot of crops. Your livestock is going to prosper. So your barns are full and your vats are full. And so I believe that this transfers over to whatever your line of work is, whatever you do. God is saying, if you honor me with your wealth, I will provide, I will bless you. You're going to be abundant and overflowing. Now hear me. I'm not saying this is a prosperity gospel, that you bleep it, reap it, blab it, grab it, that I'm going to drive a Cadillac or a, you know, a four-ton truck or a, you know, whatever you want. I'm not saying that it's about financial prosperity, but this is what I know, is that prosperity is multifaceted. It's prosperity of the soul, prosperity of your home, prosperity of your mind, prosperity of your health, prosperity of finances. There's a lot of things, and that doesn't mean when you go through difficult times that you're out of the will of God, okay? Bad things happen to good people. And we don't understand it all. But I just know from my own life, as I have honored God with my wealth, I have seen God bless me so much. And I'm just amazed at what he's done for me in my marriage and my own finances. God has blessed the socks off me. And I thank him for that. And God is saying, I'm the source. I am your source. Do you realize that everything you have in life is a gift from God? Some of you say, well, I'm really good at business, or I'm really great at my job. I'm the source. I'm the one who does it. Let me ask you this. Who gives you a sane mind so you can think and plan and strategize for your job? Help me here. Who does that? God. Who gives you the physical health and strength so that you can get up in the morning and go to work and do what you have to do and get done what you have to get done, and you're not laid up in bed all day? Who does that for you? God, who is it that protects you as you drive to work so you don't get smashed by a semi, and protects your family and protects you dozens of times throughout the day? Who is it that brings customers through the door? God, you see, God does it all. We could do everything in our power, but if God doesn't allow it to happen, we'd be in deep weeds. God is the source. And he says, honor me because I am the one who blesses you. If you sow a little, how much are you going to reap? Yeah, how many of you like to plant a garden? Some of you do. How many of you plant flowers? vegetables, those kind of things. If you plant one kernel of corn in the ground, how many corn stalks are you going to get? One. Plant one tomato and one potato plant. And, you know, how many plants you get? One. If you plant just a few seeds, you're getting a very small harvest. But if you plant 100 kernels of corn and 100 potatoes and 100 tomatoes, what are you going to get? An abundance. And you see, that's the principle. When we sow into God, into the kingdom, and we're recognizing God is my source, it's not me, I can trust him with all of my wealth, then he blesses us. But if we think, I'm the source, I'm the one that has to do this, that's where we get into trouble. Now, there is a pastor who experienced this with his son. His name is Kevin Myers. He took his little boy, Jaden, who was 2 years old. They went to a family movie. And before the movie, they went to the snack stand. How many like going to the snack stand before the movie? Oh, yeah, that's the good place to go. And he got his son one of those big movie boxes of Skittles. And he got a cup, and he poured them into there because, you know, those it's kind of hard to get your hand in the Skittles. So he poured them into the cup so it was easy access. And during the movie, Kevin broke into the Skittles, and I got some Skittles here. I'm going to have a few Skittles this morning. Strawberry is my favorite. Who likes strawberry? Too bad. You know what? I'm just going to pass some of these out here. I got a few I can give away.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. But you know what? My mama told me when I was growing up, if you're going to eat in front of people, make sure you have enough to give to everyone. So you know what? Ushers, come on down, okay? We got Skittles for everybody. Everybody get Skittles today. They're also going to hand out a card to you. Go ahead and hand those cards out. On the back of this card is a Skittles story, okay? Because your kids are getting Skittles upstairs. You say, oh, thanks for the sugar, Pastor. You're wiring them up. And Pastor Dan, he's giving them to him at the end of service, so they're good and wired up for you so they can hear God's word as he's sharing. But he's telling them that there's a reason you're getting free Skittles today, and so you can share this story with them, with your kids when you get home, okay? And we're going to be looking at the front side of that card at the close of our message. But here's the thing. In the middle of the movie, Pastor Kevin reaches into the Skittles cup to get some Skittles. And 2-year-old Jaden goes, no! Those are mine! And everybody in the movie theater looks back, you know, and like, Kevin says, you would have thought I'd taken a knife and rammed it into his leg. I mean, it was a blood-curdling scream. And Kevin says, man, I was hurt. I love this kid. I give him the world. He was also a little angry and ticked off. It's like, you know, I bought you those Skittles with my, I didn't take your allowance and buy, you know, those are my Skittles. If I want, I could go to the movie theater and get boxes of Skittles and come back and just shower you with Skittles. You see, what Jaden didn't realize is that those Skittles really weren't his. They were a gift from his dad. His dad was the source, but he thought he's the source. And he didn't realize his dad could bless him. Fast forward 2 years later, the Myers family is at another family movie. They buy some Skittles. And yes, you can enjoy them during the message, okay? You don't have to wait until afterwards, unless it's going to cause you to get hyper, and then, you know yourself. We trust you. But 2 years later, they get some Skittles again. He pours them in a cup. And when Kevin reaches for the Skittles in the middle of the movie, you know what Jaden does? He leans into his father instead of recoiling. There was growth and maturity there. And friends, what we don't realize is that all of our Skittles, the red ones, purple, yeah, all of them come from God. Everything we have, God is our source. And we get into trouble when we think, I did this, and don't realize that everything is a blessing from God. Here's the thing that I've come to realize. God defies the odds. Even in our finances. We've been saying it all year. That's our theme. God can defy the odds in your finances. You feel, I don't have enough. I got to look out for myself. I'm the source. I got to be in charge. Uh-uh. You honor God with your wealth, and your barns will be full. Your vats will be overflowing. God defies the odds. That's the first point we learn from Proverbs chapter 3. Let's move on. The second principle is give to God first. Give to God first. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first and best part of all your income. What's interesting is that this term, first fruits, it's referring into the Old Testament. When God gave the law, when Israel was coming out of Egypt, when God set them free, and then God said, ask all your Egyptian neighbors that have held you in slavery for 400 years, ask them for whatever you want and they'll give it to you. And God set them free. He took them through the Red Sea. He gave them bread and he gave them water in the desert. This is what God told them. God said, I want you to give your first fruits, and the first fruits was the first part of your harvest. The very first crops that came in. In other words, it was the strongest. It was the best, symbolizing that God is the strongest. And what's interesting, you jump ahead to 1 Corinthians and say, Pastor Craig, why are you talking about Old Testament farming? Because this is what Paul taught the Corinthian church. He said, in verse 20, chapter 15, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, because of Adam's sin, death came to us. Resurrection of the dead comes from one man. Jesus died for our sin, and the resurrection comes from him. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I have become sons of God, the children of God. But Jesus is the firstborn. He's the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is a sense of the first fruits. That's what Paul is saying, and he's going back to this Old Testament teaching of giving to God your first and your best. And here's the thing that we have to realize. Jesus is called the first fruits. God gave his first and his best to you and me. Jesus, the first fruits. And so we give our best and our first to him. And that's why when it comes to returning the tithe and giving offerings, we don't say, well, God, you know what? Let me just wait to the end of the month, and if I've got money left in the bank account and I feel comfortable with it, then I'll give you the 10%. Then I'll obey and I'll give that to that need to the poor. Because there's times God prompts us to do something, and we say, I don't know if I can afford that. How many have ever been there and done that? God says, help someone, do something, give something. And you say, but God, that's mine. Or God, I don't know if I'm going to have enough. So let's just wait and see. But in Proverbs it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits, or the best and the first part, we give to God. And so you give to God first. The last principle that we see in this passage is when you honor God with your wealth, God blesses you. When you honor God with your wealth, God blesses you. Your barns will be full, your vats will be overflowing with fresh wine. Now, we're going to talk about three ways to honor God. We want to make this practical, three ways, and these are on the screen for you. The first way to honor God with our wealth is to be ethical and wise. Be ethical and wise. Now, in Scripture, there are several teachings about money and about wealth. We can't hit them all, but I'm going to give you a few main ones, okay? We're kind of going to kind of go rapid fire here. So we've got the Scripture and the point up there. Letter A, don't steal, covet, or lie to gain wealth. You don't sin to try to get ahead. Paul said in Romans chapter 13:9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, That's the bedroom we talked about a few weeks ago. You shall not commit murder. That might be the family room. I don't know. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't want your neighbors doing something to you, then don't do that to your neighbor. Say, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus basically taught in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we won't look at it, but he taught that every single person in the world, whoever you come in contact with, is your neighbor. So you don't steal from people. You don't covet. You don't lie to try to get ahead and sugarcoat things and paint a false picture with deceit so you can get ahead financially. Be ethical and wise. Another thing in being ethical and wise is be fair in financial dealings. Be fair in financial dealings. In James chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, James says, you know, some of you who are really rich, you have cheated your laborers who work for you in the field. And God knows if you've been fair or not, and God is going to judge you if you haven't been fair, if you've cheated them. So as you deal with your finances, be fair, do what's right. Letter C, pay your bills. Amen or omi. Pay your bills. Proverbs 3:28. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you when you have it with you. Pay for your bills. As Christians, we shouldn't be the type of people that the bill collectors are at our door all the time. That hurts our testimony. That hurts our that's like stealing from the businesses. I've known some people, they have the intent, they go to a store and they don't intend to pay it back. They'll put it on credit, put it on something, and they don't intend to pay their bills. I don't want to do that as a believer. Letter D, avoid get-rich-quick schemes. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. How many have ever received something in the mail or in an internet or something, and it sounds too good to be true? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, okay? Getting rich quick usually does not work. The next one, letter E, look for the best buys, avoid impulsive purchases. Oh, I like that. That new car? Man, I want that new car. I want that new clothes. I want that new fridge. I want that new TV. I want that new game. I want that new I mean, it's so easy to not have things budgeted, and we see it, we want it, and so we buy it. But it tells us in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. When you just buy things without making sure you've got the resources to cover your other needs, it brings you to poverty. And then the last one under this being ethical and being wise with your finances is save for the future. Save for the future. The Proverbs writer uses the ant as an illustration. He says, look at this illustration from nature, how God designed ants in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Go to the ant, you lazy one, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. Those are some tips on how to be ethical and be wise with your finances. As we talk about this room, the office, is the Holy Spirit pricking your heart on any one of these, saying, I want you to maybe not be so impulsive. I want you to set up a budget. You need to save. You need to be fair. You need to be honest and not steal, or whatever it is God speaking to you? If he is, don't lock the door and say you can't have access. Be ethical and wise in your money. The second application of honoring God with our first fruits is to help other people with our wealth. Help other people with our wealth. Letter A in your notes is provide for your family. Your number one obligation is to provide for your family. Now, this might seem like it needs no comment, but I know some people that they spend their money all on alcohol or all on gambling, and they don't have money for food, or they will go out and they'll buy lots of stuff but not take care of the needs of their family. And it says in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household, look at this, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty strong words. We need to make sure we're taking care of our family, our spouse and our kids, and we're meeting their physical needs. I'll also throw in there the emotional and spiritual needs. I believe it has that connotation too. But we need to make sure that we are providing for our families. Another way to help others is to assist the poor. Letter B is assist the poor. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor, look at this, lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Sometimes you give to the poor and you feel like, well, I'll never see that again. God says, uh-uh. When you give to the poor, you've loaned it to me, and I'm going to reward you. It's like what Jesus said. And Matthew, he says, hey, what you do to the least of these, when someone's hungry and you feed them, when they don't have any clothes and you give them clothes, when they're thirsty and give them something to drink, whatever you do to the least of these, you're doing it to me. And so we want to assist the poor because, remember, God sees and he knows that he has the ability to bless us with a bunch of Skittles, not just our little cup. And when you take some of the Skittles out of your cup and you give them to someone else, God says, I can give you more. You can't outgive God. God has a bigger shovel than you and I do. He has a bigger shovel. You can trust in him with all of your heart. You don't have to try to figure out your finances on your own if you just trust in him. Now, that doesn't mean you're stupid. I know some people that they follow certain principles, but they don't follow them all. Here's the thing. If you obey all the traffic laws except the speed limit law, does your obedience in all other areas get out of disobeying speeding? No. Someone said, sure, I wish it was that way. I would speed all the time. And that's why all of these principles from the office with our finances are important to abide by, because we can't expect to obey God. I'll pick that one and that one, but no, I don't want to do this one. That's why all of these work in congruency together, okay? All right, the third and final principle or way that we honor God with our finances is recognize Christ's lordship through tithes and offerings. Recognize Christ's lordship through tithes and offerings. A few weeks ago, we talked about the living room, and in it we mentioned how Jacob talked to God at Bethel. Bethel meant the house of God, and we learned that in that room we're supposed to talk to God. But what's interesting is the first time in Genesis 28 when Jacob talked to God, he was on the run for his life. Because of this very room, the office, he went to his dad, and his brother Esau was really hairy. And so he killed some animals, and he put goat skin hair on his arms and on his neck and on his beard. And he came in. His father was blind and couldn't see. And so he said to his dad, I'm Esau, and he stole Esau's blessing. And when Esau finds out about it, he's ticked off and wants to kill him. And so Jacob's on the run for his life because he wasn't ethical in finances. And he's at Bethel, and God appears to him and says, Jacob, someday I'm going to bring you back to this land you're running from because you're trying to save your life. And I'm going to bless you, and you're going to inherit this land, you and all of your descendants. And in you, your seed is going to bless the entire world. The seed it was referring to was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus came through Jacob and the nation of Israel. The whole world is going to be blessed through you, through a descendant who comes from you. And this is what Jacob says. Take a look in verse 20 of Genesis 28. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. You see, up to this point, God had only been the God of Abraham and Isaac. He hadn't been the God of Jacob. Jacob hadn't surrendered his life to God. And he says, then God will be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, Bethel. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Jacob said, God, when you're my God, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I own. Of everything I receive, I'm giving you a tenth. Here's the principle he was teaching us. It's in your notes. Tithing is a sign of lordship, that he's your God. Tithing is a sign of lordship that he is your God. And we see this very same principle in the book of Malachi. God says, you've left me. Return to me. Make me your God. Take a look at verse 7. God says, return to me, and I'll return to you. The people had left God. And he says, the people say, well, how shall we return to you? Verse 8, this is what God says. Well, a man robbed God, but you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. You know what he's saying? Your barns will be full and your vats will be overflowing if you honor me with your tithe. He goes on to say, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful. Say delightful. Delightful land. How many want a delightful life? When we recognize that God is God, that God is our source, that he is Lord, and I can trust him that he can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%, there's a freedom and a peace and a joy, a delightfulness that comes into our life because God's in control and God provides for us. I remember, and I've shared this before, when God convicted me saying, Craig, you're tithing on your income but not on your health insurance. This is over 20 years ago. My son, who's like 21, was 2 years old at the time. And God said to me, you're not tithing on your health insurance because the church paid it directly and it didn't come to me. I didn't see it. I didn't write a tithe check. And you know what I told God? I knew our finances, they were tight. And it's like, God, I can't afford to tithe. And the next several months, our family was sick. About every 3-4 weeks, one of the kids was sick. We're going to the doctor, getting medicine. And it was like we were sick all the time. My wife, we were helping some friends restain. They had this old wood, and we were stripping it so that they could stain it. And as she was stripping and sanding, a sliver went in under her thumbnail, and it was so deep that she had to go to the emergency room for them to remove it. And my son, he was 2 years old at the time, had this really smelly yellow discharge coming from his nose. We couldn't figure out what it was. Went to the doctor, and they found a piece of Nerf ball up his nose. They pull it out. A few weeks later, it's back again, this discharge. They find more Nerf ball up the nose. They pull it out. Another few weeks later, it's back again. They go, and the doctor says, I see more Nerf ball, but it's so up there, we have to do surgery. So they did surgery on my son. And I remember, man, we were just spending money at the doctor's office like crazy. And I prayed to God one day, God, what's wrong? Why are we having such difficulty with our, why are we so sick? And God says, do you remember several months ago, it was probably about 9 months, 10 months, do you remember when I talked to you about tithing on your health insurance? And I was like, oh, God, forgive me. I added it up, and the amount of what would have been our tithe on the health insurance we spent like $2,000 to $3,000 more in our bills that we had to take out of savings to cover them. Now, I'm not saying that you just start tithing and all your problems go away, okay? Sometimes things get worse because the devil wants to see, are you really serious about this? Is God really your Lord? We started just tithing on it. We says, okay, we're not sticking as much into savings. We're just going to start tithing on it. And you know what? We got better, and God has provided ever since. But I had to come to the place and say, God, you're my source. It's not me. I was trying to trust in myself with all my heart and rely on it in my own understanding. And as a result, I didn't honor God with my wealth. When we honor the Lord with our wealth and we give Him the best and first part of our income, our barns really are full and our vats will overflow. We have an abundant life spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially that we just can't believe.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.